And because this is our Friday, it's really Thursday, but we are going to bring our film critic and the host of the podcast, Last Call with Richard Krause, to join us to rule on the pop culture stories taking center stage in the court of public opinion.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, as I jumped all over the court is now in session person. I'm sorry about that.
I think she'll be okay. I have thoughts about Reshmi and the trip and the whole thing.
Oh, please, Richard, give me everything, Judge. Be judgy.
Richard, it's $175 an hour. Don't give it away for free.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my free advice. I'm from the East Coast. I think your potato farmer is like everyone that I know from the East Coast. He's a chatty guy. He likes to talk. He wants to talk. You know, he's probably fishing for some information, but I bet you I get these like, hi, how are you phone calls all the time from my friends and family on the East Coast. And I find myself sitting here thinking, is there a point to this? And there never is. It's just a, hey, how's it going? And it's just kind of one of the sweet little quirks about living down there. And I kind of love it.
Thank you, Richard. You're right. He's a great guy. He comes from a really great family, but it doesn't look like I'll be seeing any of them because of the mess at Pearson. Should we get to our cases?
Let's do it.
All right. Judge Krause, what is our first case?
Okay, so in this first case, Alec Baldwin announced on Instagram that he was going to interview Woody Allen. And part of the idea of this, he was alluding to the fact that he would ask a couple of questions at least to counter the HBO documentary series Allen versus Pharaoh, which explored the allegations of sexual abuse made against Woody Allen in 1992. Now, people, of course, blew back at Alec Baldwin about this. And then he responded with, I have, and the capital letters are his, zero interest in anyone's judgments. I am obviously someone who has set my own set of beliefs, and I could not care less about anyone else's speculation. And it goes on from there. But the question here is, was the Woody Allen interview a public relations misfire for Alec Baldwin, who's in the news for lots of other reasons these days?
Yeah, it's not been a good year for Alec Baldwin, and this is a misstep. I don't know if he's doing a favor for a friend. I don't know of the nature of their relationship, but Woody Allen is a no-go zone here, and I just don't think somebody like Alec Baldwin should be platforming Woody Allen, given all of the allegations and the problems that surround him.
I think whoever's idea is this was this should be on trial. That's my opinion on it.
Well, I'll tell you, my point wasn't so much with Alec Baldwin interviewing Woody Allen. He can speak to whoever he wants, and people will either tune in or they won't tune in. My issue was with Alec Baldwin's statement on Instagram when he said, I have zero interest in anyone's judgments and sanctimonious posts here. And anyone with the kind of cloud that Baldwin has following him around after he discharged a gun being used as a prop that killed the cinematographer Halna Hutchins on his last film, Rust, should be a little more careful about the way he presents himself in public. It might be time for Baldwin to step away from social media and stop yelling in Spanish at the people that work for him. Mark, play clip number one.
Leonela! Leonela! Basta! Las palitas, basta! Las palitas, suficiente!
Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, that was Alec Baldwin during the interview thinking that his dogs were making too much noise and he wanted someone, Leonetta, to stop it.
Ugh.
And I don't think that didn't work out well for anybody, Baldwin or Leonetta.
Ugh. I hope there are more popular Instagram lives than this. What's the verdict?
Well, that was my verdict, is like, just divorce yourself from Instagram, stay quiet, and maybe give a hoot about people's judgments and their posts on Instagram, because it affects you moving forward in the court of public opinion. That is my verdict.
And Judge Krause, what is our next case?
Okay, so Republican Senator Ted Cruz has a beef with Elmo, the fluffy Muppet with the high voice from Sesame Street. Earlier this week, they released a video in which the three-year-old Elmo and his dad, Louie, were talking about Elmo's recent vaccination. Louie explained that he had hesitations about it, but then he spoke with some doctors and decided that getting Elmo vaccinated was the right decision. Cruz disagreed, and he found the video to be, untrue. He said it wasn't cute. He said it was aggressively advocating for vaccinating children under five, citing zero scientific evidence. And it's not the first time that Ted Cruz has sparred with a Muppet. In November, he got all up in Big Bird's grill because Big Bird had the temerity to get vaccinated and talk about it on television. And Ted Cruz called it government propaganda. So the question here is, why does Ted Cruz hate the Muppets? Doesn't he have bigger things to think about?
I know. And can he find some commonality being a puppet?
Or a Muppet, as the case may be. This is all culture war stuff. Yeah. It's all just rant, rave, be mediocre, be aggrieved, feed the base the red meat that they're after. We're seeing it with the governor of Florida, who I think fancies himself a Republican presidential nominee for 2024, Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. It would be lovely if these guys would just go away, but we're stuck with them.
Well, I agree. Cruz is starting to try and start a culture war with two of the most beloved characters for kids. Sesame Street has been entertaining and educating children since before Ted Cruz was born. This is nothing new. In 1972, when Richard Nixon's administration oversaw Sesame Street's network PBS, Big Bird got vaccinated against the measles. He said in a tweet a little bit earlier this week, he said he learned about vaccinations because he's been getting them since he was a little bird. Today, Big Bird and Elmo continue the tradition by trying to keep children safe and feel less afraid. So, Ted, unruffle your feathers and leave Big Bird and Elmo alone. Not everything is, as Cruz says, government propaganda. That is my verdict.
Wait till he finds out about Bert and Ernie.
Hey, you, Bert.
All right. What's our next case?
All right. The reality television show, The Ninja Warriors, is being considered to becoming part of the Olympic Games. So they're going to test it for potential inclusion as the new fifth discipline of the modern pentathlon. In the pentathlon, you've got fencing, swimming, equestrian, show jumping, laser pistol shooting, and running. Now they want to add this television reality show style obstacle course. And so the question here is, is this the reality televisionizing of the ancient Olympic Games? Do we really need a gold medal for ninja warrior skills?
Why not? Why not? Mm. These are solid athletes. I think the athleticism that these competitors show is off the charts, and I would love to see this. I mean, a lot of the things that we have held dear or believed we've held dear have evolved, have morphed, have changed. These are true athletes. I'd love to see it.
I would suggest that we watch figure skating, an Olympic sport, just to see if someone falls, and Ninja Warrior falls under the same category for me.
Well, here's my verdict. I don't think that everything has to be bigger and badder. I know the IOC have recently voted to add softball, karate, sport climbing, surfing, skateboarding, and even breakdancing to the Olympics. But I think that adding the Ninja Warrior simply feels like an attempt to lure a younger audience and not something that really belongs on the world stage in the way that it will be showcased in the Olympics. What reality show contest will they plunder next? Will it be Below Deck's tequila shot pudding? Or maybe instead of handing out medals, they can insert the Bachelor's Rose ceremony
No, come on,
Judge Krause. If you're going with that, I mean, these are things I could gold medal in.
The Bachelor Rose ceremony.
Oh, sure. Why the heck?
These are things I have gold medaled in, and that's why I hold them near and dear. sure, but I'm not prepared to share them with the world.
Thank you for the advice off the top, too, Richard, about Reshmi's situation, giving some context, because we took calls in the last segment. There, one suggested that there was some recon going on. Another suggested that her potato farmer was interested in her Shelley. Friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you know, I think that's way more nefarious than this actually is.
Yeah, and that's something a Toronto man's would do, not an East Coaster. I love that we know now that you are an East Coaster. It makes so much sense, Judge Chris.
I am a total East Coaster. I've lived here for a very long time, but I was born and raised down there, and the chunk of my family still live down there. And you know, you get the strangest phone calls from people, and there's a there's a thing that people do down there too, just called visiting, which nobody does here in Toronto. Where you just go out on a Sunday afternoon, you don't call ahead, you don't tell people you're coming over, you just show up and you stay for a coffee or a beer or whatever. And you chit chat about the squirrel that you saw earlier that day, and then you leave. And you might hit four or five houses while you're out visiting, but it's just part of the sociability of being from the East Coast. Yeah. And I think that's what the potato farmer is doing right now. He's just trying to ingratiate himself a little bit and being a natural East Coast guy.
And we have to say goodbye at this point. Richard Kress, happy Canada Day to you. We hope you have a long weekend full of squirrel chats and visits.
Happy Canada
Thanks
Day.
Thanks so much, you guys.